Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earle. And this is another World Cup special pod. And we have our finalists, my friend. The two semi-finals we will talk about. Of course, France beating Belgium 1-0 and Croatia winning against England after extra time 2-1. And it's with that game, Rob, that we have to start. Yeah. So much anticipation, so much excitement, so much hope, really, with both of us and everybody, of course, from England. And it wasn't to be. It didn't happen. So much to get into.
Yeah.
I'll let you start. I mean, we both thought England would get through in this tie. Yeah. They didn't. I'll let you start, Rob, with wherever you want to go on your general thoughts. Maybe your strongest thoughts to start with.
That at the start of the game, Rob, and after a brilliant start of a goal after 5 minutes, and as I'm watching the opening parts of the game, I'm thinking to myself, this England team are different. The nerves hasn't affected them. They've got into the game. They're pressing and controlling the football. And for maybe 20 minutes, the first 20 minutes of the game, I'm thinking, this is on, by the way. And Kane's missed a chance. Jesse Lingard's had a great opportunity at the edge of the box. But as the game's going, I'm thinking, that's okay. Well, there'll be more chances. The way this team are playing. And then over the course of the sort of swing towards half time, and then from half time onwards, it was a bit of the old England. A little bit of the tension came in, where the nerves played a part, fitness seemed to play a part. People looked like they'd run out of gas. The team started going from pretty much back to front, trying to just go forward, stop playing through midfield, and I don't know if that's psychological. I'm not sure if that's energy-wise. People will talk about, and people have asked whether the tactics were right. Listen, that's a little bit harsh on Gareth, having done so well so far. But something changed from half-time onwards, where we saw more of the older England that we've seen in tournament competition. And that was a disappointing thing, because even at half-time at 1-0 up, I'm saying if England play well in the second half, they're in a World Cup final.
Mm. It did change at half-time, didn't it? I'm with you. I mean, I think England played really well in the first half. Yeah. They looked lively. We kept looking at Croatia playing, building up and crossing, and they were awful. So yeah, it's like, I did have a little bit in me thinking, wow, I'm not sure they can be as bad as that again.
Yeah.
And second half changed, and it changed because Croatia played much better. They passed the ball much better than we did, which meant that our back three turned into a back five.
Yeah.
We got kind of outnumbered a little bit in midfield.
Correct.
And it came back to, I think what I talked about right at the start, Rob, with our preview pod about the World Cup and England's chances, and I guess the inability to keep the ball. And of all the things that I've read, I mean, there's only a few people that have talked about the inability to keep the ball. There's lots of tactical things and what he could have done, and we can get into that if we need to. Yeah, he could have played. He could have taken a centre back off and played three.
Yeah.
It's that when it really matters against good sides, we have to. We don't keep the ball enough. We don't build attacks, Rob. We're not good at building attacks. And what I mean by
is playing
from the back through midfield and create opportunities.
For the first 25 minutes of the game, we were doing... Yeah, they were poor. So you're saying when a team
gets
a bit of a press, play higher, get on the ball, then England are going to struggle at the moment.
Well, they passed the ball terribly in the first half, and we did okay. So we had good territory, good possession. Mm. Second half, they passed the ball better. So we didn't have the ball.
But
when
we did have the ball, that still shouldn't stop us passing it well, should it? That's my point.
So, well, that's my point as well, then.
So
we don't pass it well.
That's also a mentality, though, isn't it? It's not just
passing
ability.
It's passing ability. It's technical ability, Rob. Jesse Lingard and Dele Alli, and we said this, I think, on the last couple.
Yeah.
Like, they want to get forward. They want to get on the end of things. They want to make forward runs, and they're both really good at it.
Yeah.
But who's giving them the ball? Who's in midfield to build up, to combine, to link together, to outnumber, to get in between the lines?
Who's doing that
when those two are forward.
Yeah, when those two are forward. And we talked about them getting forward. But my argument, I don't know if I'm trying to be a little bit harsh or the point's not being across, is if Croatia were better on the ball, I get that 100%, and they had better territory. But when England got the ball then, Rob, we didn't pass. Now that isn't because Croatia, is it their pressure? But that's also because England's lost, I thought, a little bit of that mental strength to get on it and pass. I was talking to my son after the game. He was hugely disappointed because he was even going to fly back to England and all that. Yeah. And he said something that really struck me. He said, if we had Modric in our team, we would have won that game. Because he would have got on the ball and made them pass.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is, okay, if Dele Alli isn't and Jesse Lingard are running on, which we knew they would do, then you've either got to change, haven't you? Could you bring Dier in and say, okay, Henderson and Dier might keep it? Or do you have to get another? Or have England not got that player? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're saying, Rob. There's a little... When you look at the teams that have gone through, and maybe some of the ones that haven't gone through for different reasons, there's a little bit of sprinkling of stardust, a little bit of quality. Luka Modric was that stardust for Croatia. Yeah. Yeah. Other teams have got their stardust, and Griezmann and Mbappe, and maybe little bits from Pogba now and again. We just lack a little bit of that. I mean, could you have brought on, Ruben Loftus-Cheek is kind of a technical type of player. Yeah, a player that I thought of today, you know, that I think about 6 months ago, we thought that he could be that guy, was Harry Winks at Spurs.
Yeah.
Because he's comfortable.
Yeah,
but we just haven't got those players. And that's all right. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, the only thing I think Tati could have done to help that, Rob, is that take out a centre-back, but then you change in your whole system.
Yeah, system.
You have a back four and you play Rashford.
The system is still so well as well, Rob. As you know,
that's right. So you can't really... I'm not sure you can really blame. Maybe midway through the second half, when it looks like this is not looking good, I'd like to have seen it then. You bring on Rashford for wide left. You pull Sterling to wide right. You keep the same three in midfield. At least that stops those central three getting pulled around a little bit.
Yeah.
And you've got Rashford in there. You've got Sterling. And on Sterling, you know, the sprinkling of stardust. Sterling was always going to be that guy for us.
Yeah.
We needed him to be that guy, and he wasn't. It just wasn't. And without him being his little tricky
creator,
parts of his
game that I thought were decent. But when you're measuring up to Modric, when you're measuring up to Hazard, that's the guy.
Yeah.
The end product, the finishing. Yes, his pace causes a problem. Yes, his running ability and he's doing up play, wins
enough,
your free kicks. But not at that level. And maybe that's the level of quarterfinals, semifinals, and getting you to finals.
Yeah, I mean, the set pieces, I mean, I'm not sure what the stats was, but like, was it 9 out of 12 goals, something, set pieces? I mean, we enjoyed the way that they scored from the set pieces, and Kane was getting his goals and sticking his penalties away, but you always thought that there's got to be better football in open play.
Football,
and it goes back to the first point of our build-up play, our combination play, isn't strong enough when it needs to be against good teams to put them on the back foot and for us to dominate possession and territory.
Let
and it came to roost.
Slightly. Yeah, and I hear your point, and I think it's a point well made. Harry Kane, who's been a star for England, who's been captain of the team, has two attempts, one with a shot at goalkeeper, one with a shot from an angle. If that's in the middle of his Spurs season when he's flying, if that's Harry Kane at his best, he scores that goal and England go 2-0 up, and I think go to the final. If Jesse Lingard on the edge of the box is in his best form at Manchester United, we've seen him bend balls in. The goal against Panama was more difficult where he's got a thing. We've seen him drive goals in for Manchester United. If that shot goes in at 2-0, I think the game's over. So despite what we saw, and yes, we didn't. There wasn't enough control of the game, key moments in the game.
Defining moments was Kane.
Defining moments. And Harry Kane is our world-class player, or at that level. He's the difference maker at the moment for England because of his finishing ability. You can argue about other parts of his game and whether he's on par with the very top players. Mm. But his finishing ability, when chances are created,
you
he got two opportunities, Rob, where you've got to back him to score and he's got to back himself. And if he takes those two chances within the first 20 minutes, I think we're on a whole different game.
We probably are. I mean, the 2-0 chance where it just, you know, maybe it's a little bit between his feet. I mean, if you're that guy, you're that world class striker, you got to score that one.
That's got to go. Yeah,
it's got to go.
Yeah.
So that, of course, was a massive moment in the game. The only thing I'd say about Harry Kane as well, firstly, there's an element of, is he injured? Is he playing through some kind of injury that's been talked about?
I heard that one, and a lot of people were going down that road.
And also, in a team that builds up better, that keeps the ball better and gets wing-backs forward better because of that build-up play, he gets more opportunities. He didn't get a kick in the game.
His chance, I know, let's say, was similar to Mandzukic's winner in some respects as a goal scorer.
Yes.
Mandzukic's not a great all-round player, but he scored, mate.
He's a proven player. Yeah. He's a proven player at big clubs.
Absolutely.
So that was really disappointing. But, you know, another player, Rob, that I was worried about at the start of the tournament was John Stones. Okay? Yeah. And I want to get your take on him.
Yeah.
We rewatched the highlights again this morning. Mm. And the little highlight that I wanted to look at the goal again, the winning goal for Mandzukic, and what his role was in it.
Yeah.
But before that piece came on the highlight, there was another. When Pickford made that save to Mandzukic, when Mandzukic got between the two players, John Stones, again, for me, was ball watching.
Yeah.
And for the goal, John Stones is not anticipating the worst scenario, Rob.
And we
had a tweet. You know, let's get into some tweets now, Rob. There was a tweet that we got in. I mean, I think you put out a tweet, Rob, saying credit to Croatia.
Credit where it's due to Croatia. This Croatian team hung in there and found a way.
Yeah, and we're going to read a few tweets out here. I'm just trying to find the one. There's one that talked about John Stones. In fact, I'll do Lucho HS here, Rob.
Yeah,
it says John Stones and Kyle Walker made the same mistakes they make at Man City. With defenders like that, your chances to win big games are diminished. So that's what I'm talking about with John Stones. Mm-hmm. And the one Jeff Sobel, who often tweets, has said, I really didn't feel like Southgate got his tactics right today. England really needed a stronger presence in midfield to control the match, which we kind of hinted on a little bit. And when they lost their legs, they had no chance.
Yeah, and there was a couple here. Mark Adam said, England should have finished them off early, allowed Croatia to stay in the match. Croatia started controlling the pace, boss midfield most of the match. And Terry Moore came out with one here that slightly surprised me, Robbie, in the stats, but it said Croatia more possession, twice as many shots, twice as many corners, three times as many shots on goal, twice as many goals. It didn't look like it live, but the stats say they dominated everything. So maybe there's a false impression of how well England did in the early parts. Yes, the first 15, 20 minutes, they did boss the game and had the chances. Mm. But yeah, let's go back to the point you made about John Stones and maybe Kyle Walker because the moment the ball, I think, got headed from Walker and it bounced down, and the moment it happened, I shouted to my wife, who I'm watching the game, and I said, "They're sleeping."
Yeah.
John Stones, they were like watching and walking ahead of the ball. And at the moment it happened, I could, honestly, it was like danger, you know, red light.
And
danger.
Mandzukic, Rob, I mean, we talk about the forever optimists of strikers.
Yeah,
and he was on the move, you know, like, you know what, if this gets flicked in there, I might get. And our defenders didn't have the opposite feeling of anticipation about where that ball might go. And it cost us. So, various reasons.
To be fair, I thought Stones has had a reasonable tournament, Rob.
Yeah, he scores. He's
got his goal. He's defended better. He's had his blocks.
Better teams now, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, Croatia are a proper team.
Is there a point where part of the learning for England, and it's a young group, and that's probably where we in some of the conclusions, is it a case of that mental kind of focus, Rob, that 100% concentration?
Correct.
can wear you down. It's tiring. It's hard to keep that on for 90 minutes, especially in those big games when the nerves are there, when the fatigue starts setting, when, you know, you've not had much possession. It's almost like every time it gets cleared, maybe John says to one of them, oh, take a breather now. Yeah. I'm okay for the next few minutes. Well, in that level of football, it can come back at any moment by any pass from, you know, top quality players.
John Stones lost his position in the Man City back line because of mistakes, lack of concentration, lack of focus. And this isn't, you know, this isn't all about John Stones. You know, there's lots of other reasons why England basically weren't quite good enough, which is the headline for me, just not quite good enough. Mm. But it just, so you talk about a young team that's learning.
Yeah.
John Stones, I've said this on our broadcast, Rob, about him at Man City. He's got to learn to be a better natural defender. Everything else, I mean, he's brilliant on the ball.
Yeah,
he attacks corners and stuff. Great. But number one priority, make sure you defend the one striker. They had one striker. We had three centre-backs.
Yeah.
And the ball watching hurts a little bit. But no, listen, young team, England fans, me, you, we enjoyed. You know, they pulled me in, mate. They pulled me in.
Well,
the hope was there.
And...
you know, and some of the football, some of the way that Gareth Southgate brought everybody together was a real highlight. You know, the future, when you think of England national teams, the young teams are doing great in tournaments.
Yeah.
This young squad, this team will be there again in 4 years. Yeah. I mean, there's not many that's going to drop out, if any, really. Maybe Henderson, potentially. So the future's bright. But let's not kid ourselves. We still lack to be at the very, very top table in international football. We got to produce players that are very good on the ball, that can manoeuvre the ball, that can keep possession, and then you build your attacks. Your system beats the other system. If you don't pass the ball well, the other people do, like Croatia did, then their system gave us a problem. And that, for me, is the story of the game.
Yeah, and you take me to sort of the points in conclusion, and I think... Mm. One of the overriding things that I think Gareth and this team have done, which has been great, Rob, is it's kind of give the football back to the nation again. People, my son's back re-engaged with England. For his life, as a 20-something, he's seen failure from England. He hadn't seen any tournaments where they've been any good. All of a sudden, he was into it. He was on a flight back to the UK if they got to the final. He said he couldn't not be there. Obviously, he'd love to be in Russia, but if not, the second best would be to be in England. So they've reconnected with a group of fans. I think they've reignited the sort of youth. Mm. That, you know, it used to be, Rob, and it's interesting, we work on the Premier League with NBC and it's a wonderful product, and we keep, you know, anytime there's an international break, we take a few days off and you know, have a breather and come back. But all the fans generally say at that time, we get the tweets coming in, don't we? Oh, can't wait for this break to be over, get back to Premier League. It's as though Premier League takes a bigger step than international football. I think that Gareth Southgate is at least even that up. You know what? There's something to look forward to in English football now. There's a development that's coming through. And I think I go away thinking about young English players needing to play in first teams in Premier League clubs and get through things. And John Stones has to get through things and learn and become a better player so that when this opportunity comes again... we're better for it. We've got the experience. We've got the know-how. We've got Loftus-Cheek, whether he's playing at Chelsea or if he's going to play at somewhere at Chelsea. He needs to get 50 more games under his belt, Rob. 100 games under his belt. So the next time we need a number 10, he's ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, and I think now what we will see is we'll see a little bit of stability with the national team, you know, and development. And I'm sure Gareth and Steve Holland will know where we fell down a little bit. I mean, there's no question the positives absolutely outweigh the negatives for England. That's the, you know, the pros and the cons and all that. That's really important to say right now that they do. But we know that there's issues that we need to get better at. I just want to mention these, like Jordan Pickford. Harry Maguire and Kieran Trippier.
Yeah, they're my three. They're on the list.
I mean, that's a huge...
How much have they grown?
Yeah, and sometimes you don't know about players until you throw them in at a certain level.
Yeah.
And those three in particular, I thought were incredible. I mean, the spirit of the goalkeeper, I mean, and Maguire's ability.
It can be now number one for the next 10 years if he's his head, keeps himself
if
fit.
If he looks after himself. Yeah.
Trippier's gone from being... a player I think people weren't sure of.
I wasn't sure that he could perform at this level. brilliant mentality.
Again, he's in there. And Harry Maguire has become a player now, if we're going to play with this system, who has put himself right to the fore of being, you know, one of the three centre-backs.
Yeah.
Comfortable on the ball, commanding in both boxes when is necessary. What he lacks in a little bit of pace, he looks like he's a little bit smarter in his head. Mm. So, yeah, you know, there's lots of positives.
I think
the point going away, and I saw an interview with Luka Modric after the game, who said he was a little bit hurt by a lot of the English journalists and English pundits sort of saying that Croatia would be tired and that, you know, this was England's chance. And he said it motivated them as a group and that's all they needed to go on. And second half, and then thing, he was phenomenal, by the way.
Yes.
His energy,
his technical
ability,
different class.
His football brain and intelligence, Rob, to slow the game, to draw people in.
Yeah.
And do you know what, as I'm looking in and going back to what my son said, it's like, that's what we need to start producing. We need to somehow find a way
always.
Of producing that always. Guy.
Yeah,
that
always.
Guy. Yeah. That guy who dictates a game.
Yeah.
Even when he's tired, Rob, can lend a ball, you know, have it.
Yeah.
Play it in the player. We're not going anywhere, but we're not giving possession. Yeah. And you're having to work on
it. And we're having the ball and our system's got a chance to work against yours. Paul Gascoigne. And it's 1990, the last time we're in the semi-final. I can't think of Skoll. I mean, Skoll's never really dominated in that way. But Gascoigne was the player. Yeah. Give it to him in midfield and keep it and keep the ball. Just a quick line on Croatia, Rob. I just want to, I guess, reiterate how impressive, mate, from between the football that they played, the guts that they showed, and the mentality and the energy after going two extra times, etc., with penalties, and people thought they were going to be tired.
Yeah,
I'm watching Modric and Ivan Perisic, by the way, I thought was outstanding at the left side there, and Rakitic
played
as well.
Played tired, didn't they, and giving them a problem. And
just the football took over. The football took over, and so often we see that where football kind of wins out. That possession, that playing, that territory, you get forward, you get serves into the box. They deserved it. They were better on the day, and just huge amount of respect for the mentality of that tiny nation in terms of population and getting to the World Cup final for the first time in their history. So,
I totally
full
agree.
Marks to them.
And you know, the thing that stood out for me, and you say, I thought Perisic and Rebic going higher causing a problem. And you know, the thing that stood out to me, Rob, technical ability. For all the running, for all the things you can do, if you've got good technical ability,
players
can keep the ball and play, it makes such a difference.
And that's
what they had in the end when England were flagging a little bit and
that's what they
keep
had.
Possession.
Football
they had
one.
Top technical ability. Mm. And that's what carried them to the final. They will, my friend, meet Les Bleus. And I say Les Bleus plural because we haven't often seen Les Bleus plural. We've seen Le Bleu in singles and great individuals, but we're seeing a committed, we're seeing a team spirit that we've not seen, a togetherness, and we've seen Robbie Earle get the semi-final choice right over the Belgium team that Robbie must
congratulations.
Have thought would make it. I'll take my congratulations,
mate.
And in a game where I thought they did a good job of containing Belgium, tactically were outstanding. Matuidi, Kante, and Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
They had a disciplined, hard-working midfield that shut down most of the fires that Belgium wanted to set up and have found a way, again, to get themselves into a World Cup final.
Yeah, brilliant. Just, I don't think we saw this team being as, my favourite word, durable, Rob. From the goalkeeper to the back four, I think we talked about it. You talked about the... The backbone of this team.
Yeah,
and Rafael Varane, I think, has
got
to be
right
up there as one of the best centre-backs in the world. Wow. He just is. Yeah. I mean, he was good from
a
young
age. He's everything you want John Stones to be, isn't he?
Yeah.
Everything you want John Stones to be.
So, you know, and the midfielders you talked about, Paul Pogba, with an incredible defensive
discipline.
Focus.
What? It was like defend first, wasn't it? Defend and be a midfield player first. If he breaks forward, that's the bonus.
Has he matured a little bit in this World Cup?
Yes.
Has he finally got the message
Let's go back there because I think it's a really important point. Has he matured? Well, do you mature in 6-8 weeks? Can you mature in that time? Or is the environment different Is he treated differently? Is he respected differently that he now gives a different kind of performance? Because I'm looking at him thinking, I don't see him enjoying the defensive role that he did for France, for Manchester United. Yeah, I don't see him doing those same things with the same joy, with the same enthusiasm, running back. There was a couple of times I see him bursting a gut to get back, to block off, to make sure he was in position. Yeah. I don't see that at Manchester United.
No, we don't.
So is that the environment? Is that the management? Is that the group of players he's playing with?
Whatever it is, Rob, I think that whether it is the manager and in a World Cup semi-final, my goodness, if you're not going to be focused and work hard. But I would hope that he's now taken on board the importance of that side of a midfield position, because that's what Mourinho's issue always was. I think we all agree that he's potentially brilliant going forward, but he's got to do that a lot better. And it certainly showed that he did that a lot better. I mean, just a very together performance from him, from the team. Yeah. And when you've got Mbappe and Antoine Griezmann up front, you are lively, you are dangerous. I think Griezmann's a special player. I think we all realise that Mbappe is special and could be great like going forward. But Antoine Griezmann is that star quality, Rob, that we talked about that England haven't quite got. You know, lively, creative, with a strong midfield when you've got N'Golo Kante doing his thing and you've got a pretty solid back four and a goalkeeper. I think they've surprised us all with their togetherness. And I think, Belgium just struggled to find a way through. Roberto Martinez, Rob, I eulogised over what he did in the previous game against Brazil. Two systems in one game worked beautifully. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I said in that podcast going into this game, I fancy Belgium unless he gets a little bit too clever, unless he tries something else in terms of tactical side of things that's a little bit too complicated or change it too much. You answer that question. Was this a tactical thing? Did he get too busy? It was kind of a lopsided system with one wing back on one side and then three centre backs.
Do you know, at the end of the day, systems are about allowing good players to play. And the system against Brazil worked perfectly. That he needed to do to get his team where they wanted to be. When I looked at the system, you know, Fellaini's position he couldn't affect the game and they wanted.
He popped up on the left side.
Yeah,
Rob,
left side most
like
of the time.
Like a wing back type of thing.
I mean, if you're going to play him and you have the effect, he's got to be in the middle of the pitch where he can block things
off at
one end and drive forward and either score goals and knock things down in the second half. You know, Kevin De Bruyne. You've got so much talent in that group, Rob, that it's just about, I think, small little tweaks and let them play. Let them do the thing. Let them play the counter-attacks. Let's see the football. Let's see Hazard. Let's see Lukaku, who was no threat whatsoever. You know, Umtiti and Varane had him totally wrapped up. We didn't see the threats. I talked about world-class players. I talked about Eden Hazard. You talked about Kevin De Bruyne. Never really saw them influencing the game in the manner that we know you can. So to me, if that's the case, look at the players didn't perform well. Yes, there's a bit of that, but the system didn't allow them to do that, and that's got to be the bigger worry, because if they played well, and this was my worry picking France, if they played well, I think they win the game. But I still felt it in Belgium, and we've seen it with some of the players, that they can be world beaters one day and not so good the next. And it was a not so good day for Belgium, to be honest, against a French team who were really committed.
Yeah, you always look at the goalkeepers and how busy they were. Thibaut Courtois was busy. He was busy. Yeah. And Hugo Lloris, just not so much. Belgium couldn't create anything. And whether that's, again, complication in the way that they played. De Bruyne is in different spots in the same game. And Hazard's from outside to in. And Lukaku's now not on the right. He's in the centre. Chadli was left wing back. Now he was right back.
Is that a bit of Roberto? And I mean, he has got a little bit
and
of
and
a,
I gave him credit.
Thing,
and he deserves
Rob,
credit sometimes.
Some people think he's a little bit, goes a little bit OTT on that tactical and the understanding and the knowledge and the detail. And I mean, and as you say, listen, this is football. You know, 3-4 days ago, we're saying he's a tactical genius, and now because they've lost, but you only can see things with your eyes. You look at what players can do, and when you look at what he has in that team, they should be producing more than what they should be, as you say, having more attempts on goal for Hugo Lloris than what he had to do. I know Lloris come up with a couple of big moments when required, but they weren't really tested in the manner with that amount of quality on the pitch.
I mean, Thomas Meunier was suspended for this game.
Yeah.
And are you telling me that Nasser Chadli is the next best right back for Belgium?
Yeah.
I mean, I give him so much credit for his last game against Brazil. He was left midfield and left wing back in the same game and
different
did
a
brilliant
game
job.
Brazil, isn't it, at the moment than France?
So
a different type of game.
So he got forward for Tonga and stayed back. Mm. It was just different and absolutely deserved France to go through. I think you're right, Rob, and fair play to you for reading that, because I expected Belgium at their best and I thought they'd beat France, and they weren't at their best, and France did a tremendous job. Just are you ready to look ahead of the final, Rob? Anything other to this particular game?
There's two very small things, very quickly. Yeah. I think in a competition where maybe superstars haven't shined as much as maybe we thought, Kylian Mbappe just shouts out superstar.
In moments, Rob, isn't it? It's in moments.
In moments. But do you know the biggest thing that stood out? And there was a couple of pictures put out on Twitter, etc. Of his speed. There was some cameraman took a shot and his legs were kind of whirring. And somebody said, you know, perfect Mbappe. And I thought it's actually doing this guy a disservice. Because do you know the biggest thing, the biggest, most impressive thing of this guy is, I think, his decision making. He's got great ability, he's got great speed, but he didn't often make some good decisions on the ball. When to pass, when to dribble, when to run, when to shoot. You know, for somebody 19, those are mature decisions. Yeah. Those are decisions you make at 26, 27, when you've worked it out, when you've done it a few times. And this kid, you know, I just think the things he does and when he does them are setting him out as a very, very special individual. And if he can develop, and whether it's at PSG or they talk about, you know, Real Madrid now coming in with Ronaldo gone, whether that's his next port of call, wherever his next step in his next level of development, by 2022, we could have another footballing superstar.
Yeah, he's got to get the numbers, Rob. He's got to get the numbers now.
Yeah.
All that ability. There's plenty of players out there. Well, not plenty of players, but there's a lot of players out there with great ability, great speed. It's about end product. And I think, you know, remember Ronaldo turned from that at Man United into end product, into assists and crosses and goals. Yeah. It's 13 goals and 27 for PSG in a league that they dominate. He's only 19. But you expect to get the numbers of a 38-game season, he's got 30 goals. He's got to get to that sort of production.
But he's got to be the man, hasn't he? And he's got to feel, you know, at PSG, you still wonder what these talk about him and Neymar don't get on, and Cavani's obviously, you know.
Yeah. So, it's a good point.
All of a sudden, he could be the man. But, yeah. So, moving on to the final, mate.
Yeah,
France-Croatia. I mean, I would have to say that France, start as favourites. Having seen what we've seen with Croatia, and don't rule them out for technical ability, they're tough. They'll hang in there. They've got durability, as you would say. Yeah. But there's something that Didier Deschamps has done to this group. The most important thing is that he's made this group of players understand that we, and I'm saying we, can win a World Cup.
Absolutely.
I cannot win a World Cup.
Absolutely.
No, I. And so I've seen, you know, Giroud and Griezmann and Mbappe and that all defending when they had to, Rob. They were deep. Yeah. They were following runners. They were committed to the jobs. We've seen Pogba be selfless in his work and not worry about showboating or winning man of the matches, doing what's required to win a tournament. Yeah. And N'Golo Kante, for me, they're the best player in the tournament. You know, if the back four play as they, Varane and Umtiti, play as well as they can, and the goalkeeper behind them, who's almost like some spiritual god who just gives you a sense of calmness and no drama, I see France winning this game, possibly 2-3.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be that kind of difference, but I think, you know, we watch so much football and we get to a point where to win the biggest titles, you've got to be a total team. The individual thing, I totally agree. It just can't continue. It can't be successful or ultimately. And you need to have the team mentality, some workers, what do I say? Artists and soldiers, Rob, and France. And to be fair, Croatia. But I think France have just got better artists and soldiers to win this World Cup. I think it will be tight. And I got a huge amount of respect for Croatia and the guts and the mentality that they've got. But each part of the team has got a little bit more stardust in different areas. Croatia's midfield is fantastic.
Yeah.
Mandzukic is a good player, and so is Perisic. But you just, I look at Griezmann and Mbappe, and maybe Giroud will play, as just got a little bit more, and they've both got some steel about them. So I'm with you, but I would go for a single goal victory for France.
Yeah, well, again, it's one of those World Cup finals and nerves and everything else. But I just think if France get in the groove and keep that competitive togetherness, I just think their quality might show in the end, and that, you know, where the fatigue does it eventually catch this Croatian team, because it's difficult to keep the kind of momentum they've been doing. It could be France that go there. Should we just have a little bit of an overview of the tournament to this point, Rob? Obviously, third and fourth place game Saturday, England v Belgium. Not that much at stake for either team, although it would be nice to finish third rather than fourth. The big game on Sunday, France and Croatia. But in terms of the tournament, it's been a good one, hasn't it? Despite the big teams not always doing as well as they should have done.
It's been a brilliant tournament, one of the best I can ever remember. I would just say this. These latter stages, have we missed a little bit of the big boys? Have we missed a little bit of the Brazils, the Germanys? You know, maybe the Italys that didn't qualify, the Messis and the Ronaldos.
The
and
Dutch
the,
even.
Is the tournament in this latter stage is just like, we got a France-Croatia final, which is, they've both deserved to get there. To be the ultimate World Cup finals that it almost has been, do you think, because I do, I just miss a little bit of big star power, big nation. Maybe the listeners were like, enough of that. It's great that other teams have got to the final.
Really. I'm a bit Leicester City in the Premier League. Do you know what? It shakes everything up. Shakes everything up. The big nations.
Yeah, it does shake it all
start,
up.
Have to start to look at things again and decide and see where's gone wrong. You know, nations like England who've gone on, it's regenerated them and I think give a bit of belief back into English football. So, for some of the big boys, I think it's lessons well learned. Like,
yep. That's a good point.
Come and don't respect the tournament. Come and don't think that your old football ways are all... Football's moving on. It's evolving. We're getting less, Rob. I'm seeing more games where... And I get where Croatia were, but possession for possession's sake is not that important anymore.
It's so much as important. We had a Spain. Yeah. Possession. Yeah. Didn't work out. You had other teams that have things that England didn't have, didn't work out. England have showed things that Brazil hasn't had or Spain hasn't had. It's just a mix of abilities to be a successful team. And that's why I think France, with all that being said, have just got a mix of talent, of togetherness, of flipping defensive running, of goalkeeper. And I think they've been the best team. I just my point, Rob, was, and I know it's been great to shake things up, but like to be the ultimate tournament,
did you need
a bit more of a superpower in there?
Yeah.
But it's a small detail. Other than that, I've absolutely loved it. I've watched pretty much every game, some of them more than once, and it's been great to kind of do these pods to catch up with you and to talk about it and get some responses from listeners and stuff. It's been a brilliant World Cup.
It has been a brilliant World Cup. Sets us well up for a Premier League season, Rob. And just before we go, there's some breaking news out of the Premier League. And maybe I think we all thought the end of last season it was coming. Started this season with him pre-season. We're talking Chelsea. We're talking Antonio Conte. And reports from Sky Italia are saying that Conte is out.
Oh, finally.
By the looks of that, Sarri is in. So this weird situation where Conte took about 3 or 4 days of pre-season training, basically knowing he's got to be there, sorting out his compensation, and finally it looks as though Chelsea have got their man, paid the compensation, Sarri's in, Conte's out. How do you see that one for Chelsea? I mean, I didn't mean Sarri's yet to win a major silverware in his club football.
Yeah, but first of all, Antonio Conte, it's painful the way that this has gone on. It's just this couple of stubborn men, I think.
It's a shame
because he's a brilliant coach, brilliant coach, and wherever he goes, I know he's going to do a great job. Mauricio Sarri, I'm kind of excited because, you know, Rob, I like the purist. I love the football. I love the combination. I love that sort of coaching style. That is what he does. I mean, Napoli played some magnificent games, like fantastic football. So for Chelsea's fans, I'm sure they will try and play that way. He want to play that way. They're going to have to make signings, and that's why it's like weird where it's taken so long. Maybe the signings, you know, they were working on that kind of progress. But the football could be very different. Will be expansive, will be creative, will be more of a Pep type of game than a Mourinho type of game, for sure. That's the way that he coaches. And Chelsea have done this before, Rob. They've gone from successful managers, they fired them, they brought in others, and they've won again. So, difficult. That's a good point you make about him not winning anything major. But I think his style is going to be really good for Chelsea and really good for the Premier League.
Yeah, well, lots to look forward to at Stamford Bridge. And that's it from us on this one. We'll give you a podcast on Monday after the big final. But it's been a wonderful adventure for England. Huge credit to Gareth Southgate for uniting the country and its football team. Remember, we want to hear from you, our listeners. Look, we'd love you to rate and review the show by downloading The Two Robbies on Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you like, where we can improve. And for this week, tell us your defining moment from this year's tournament. You conclude Sunday's final. What's been the defining moment in the 2018 World Cup? And we'll give out the best responses in our next podcast. So in the end, it was the England team that was coming home and not the Jules Rimet Trophy. That's going to go to either France or Croatia. I'm Earl, he's Musto. Together we're talking World Cup 2018. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.